I wish I could express to you how thankful I am for this blessed opportunity to be with you. I thank the Lord that He's given all of us time to be together. It's been a blessing. In the book of Joel, I'm going to just read this. I'm actually going to be preaching out of Romans 10, verses 13 to 15. But in the book of Joel, chapter 2, Joel, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, said this, "And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." By the way, I mean, you said God doesn't apologize for anything.
That's right.
He said, "This is what I'm going to do."
Right. That's it.
And verse 32 of Joel 2 says this, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Now this is what the Lord said. He said, "I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I'm going to do that." And He said, it's going to come to pass that whosoever, Jew, Gentile, man, woman, whosoever, that calls on the name of the Lord, and I'm going to say something about what that is, they shall be delivered, shall be saved, they shall be rescued. And out of those whosoevers, according to the Holy Spirit of God, as He moved upon Joel the prophet, those whosoevers is going to come out of God's remnant.
Yeah.
That's what He said.
Yes, sir.
"As the Lord has said, in the remnant of the Lord shall call." You were reading, Brother William, out of Romans 9. I love that chapter. I love,
yes, sir.
John 17. I love that. Oh.
Yes.
I mean, there, the absolute sovereignty of God. I love speaking of God who is sovereign.
Yes.
One that does as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And nobody stays His hand. Well, Joel's prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Now, I know it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost because the Apostle Peter said it was, under the inspiration of God's Spirit. And the Scripture says in Acts chapter 2, says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because..." Now here's the explanation of tongues.
Right. Yes,
if you want to know what speaking in tongues is,
yeah,
it's not an unknown language that people don't understand, and they sitting there with gibberish and, you know, and just bringing all the attention to themselves.
Yeah.
you know, look at me, I'm holier than you are because I can speak these funny words. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Amen.
And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?
Yeah.
You know, I don't speak Spanish or Russian, and really not very much English. But if somebody's speaking Spanish, I can say, that's Spanish.
Yeah.
That sounds like Spanish to me. That sounds Russian. It sounds like Russian to me. I don't understand you. But I said, aren't these Galileans? They told Peter when he said, your speech betrays you.
Yeah.
You're the one. How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, around Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
Amen.
And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this?
Yeah.
Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, this is what Joel prophesied over.
Sir.
That God was going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And all of these devout people, all these different parts, they were in Jerusalem. And they didn't speak the same language. And the Spirit of God did something amazing.
Yes.
He caused them to hear the gospel in their language.
Yes, sir.
These men are Galileans.
Yeah.
And we're hearing them speak in our native tongue. These men heard the truth. Heard the truth of the gospel. Romans 10:12 said there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. To all who appeal to him for deliverance. You write this down. When a man or a woman calls on the Lord, God's already given them life. They're alive.
Yes, sir.
Almighty God gives a new heart. He gives life.
Yes.
And when He gives life, that's when they call.
Right. That's right.
That's when they call.
That's right.
This thing of calling, men say, well, I called on the Lord and He gave me life. No, you got it backwards. No, salvation's of the Lord.
Amen.
And He gives life and men call on the Lord. God Almighty has a people. He has a remnant. And whoever they are, and I don't know who they are, I can look around and I can say, well, I think I've got some indication, John, who some of them might be because of the evidence that I see. Because of the confession, the consistency of their walk.
Yes.
I might have some evidence, but I'm going to tell you something. Only God knows His people.
Amen.
I know my own. Whosoever shall call with a new heart. Like I said, that's where that call came from.
Yes,
a
sir.
New heart.
Yes.
New spirit. Whosoever shall call upon the name, the character of the Lord, shall be saved. Psalm 145:8 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Truth. Somebody will say, well, preacher, do I have to call upon the Lord according as he's revealed in Scripture? Yes. But don't you ever put any confidence in your ability to initiate that call. Because the day you put confidence in yourself and say, well, you know, I don't have a whole lot to brag on, but at least, no, I'll tell you this, man calls it by the grace of God.
Right.
New life. Yes. Do I have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved? Well, let me just read this scripture to you. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. What are you saying? I'm saying that God Almighty, who determined the end, determined the means to the end.
Yes, sir.
Do I have to call? God said you did. But again, remember, you remember where that call initiated from.
That's right.
I was thinking this morning, let me ask this question. Do I have to breathe to live? Well, yeah. I say, well, you know, I think that I could probably figure out a way to get oxygen into my cells without going either through my nose or through my mouth. I think I could figure that out. Try it. I think I could do it. I'm not saying that I don't need to have oxygen in my body, but I don't think that just the way that God provided is the only way. I think I can improve on it. No, you're going to die. Does a man have to call? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God ordained it.
Yes, exactly.
He ordained that. I mean, here's the thing that gets me. Why do men have to argue with God?
Yeah, that's it.
You say, well, I don't think I have to call on the name of the Lord. The Lord said you did. The Lord said you did. Now in Romans chapter 10, the apostle asked, and again under the inspiration of God's Spirit, I think, you know, you don't have to worry about a believer arguing with God over this. Now they're gonna say, you know what? The Lord has spoken.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna take God's side against myself.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Man by nature will say, I don't really feel. I don't really think. I feel as though that. What difference does that make? What you feel?
Exactly.
If Almighty God says that His people are going to call,
Amen.
You know why? Because they want to.
Yeah.
And you know when they wanted to?
Yeah.
When He gave them a new heart, willing in the day of God's power.
Amen.
You that believe, let me ask you this: do you want to call on the Lord?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. I'm glad. Thanks be unto Him, I do too. I want to call. In Romans chapter 10, the scripture says, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then Paul asked this question under the inspiration of God's Spirit. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed. How?
Yeah.
How? Now, this is God setting forth a very, very logical question. How are they going to call? Now, this call comes from the heart. This is a heart call. The Lord says, with their mouth they draw near to me, their heart is far out of the heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. There's a new desire. There's a new longing. That Almighty God places within his people. He gives them a new will.
Yes, sir.
A man born with an old, dead, depraved will. You just read it. It's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
Is man born with a free will? No. Do you know what free? Let me tell you what the heart of the word free means. Bound by nothing. Bound by nothing. This is your book. If I got a free will, I can take that. Now that's mine. Because it's bound by nothing. I'm not bound that it belongs to you, Brother Wade. It's mine now. Free. Bound by nothing. Man has a free will. He's bound in trespasses and sins. He's bound by death. He's bound by blindness. He's bound. He can't see, can't hear. Free will. No, he doesn't have free will. But I'll tell you this, when God gives him a new will, a new mind, to call, to come. There's some freedom there. How, verse 14, shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Romans 10, verse 11 says, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
Whosoever invokes for aid believeth.
Yeah.
Whosoever invokes for aid from him, whosoever trusts him,
yes,
they're not going to be ashamed in this life or the world to come.
Right. That's right.
A sinner must be given a heart to believe. Does a man have to call? The Lord said he did.
Yes, sir.
Does a man have to believe? Does he have to believe?
Yes.
Listen to this scripture right here, and I'll let the Spirit of God answer that question. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Does a man have to believe? Listen to this, Brother Joe. Well, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe,
yes,
that he is,
yes,
and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, does a man have to believe on the Lord? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How shall a man call on him in whom he's not believed? I'm going to go back to my original statement. Where does that belief come from?
Right, there you go.
God gives a man a heart,
amen,
to believe. It's given unto you. It's given unto you to believe. And this believing, it's not a one-time thing. This calling is not a one-time thing. Listen to this. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And that word come right there means initially. There was a point in time when we did believe and come to Christ in heart, in heart. A man comes to Christ in his heart. I can be somewhere and I could be there and my wife's at home and I could think on her and immediately I just in my heart I come to her. She's right there. I wasn't there in person, but for the Lord who's ever present, I come. Listen. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me initially. And him that cometh, now that's a continual coming. Continual.
Right.
He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
I've had people tell me, they said, I came to the Lord initially. I was 14, 18, I was 45, I said, you know what? All of that's water under the bridge. Are you coming right now? Salvation is right now. Today is the day of salvation. Well, I don't know. I don't know when I first came to the Lord. I don't know if I really. Let me ask you this: are you coming right now? Desiring right now? I don't know how much I really knew then. Do you know Him right now? It's water under the bridge. You're never going to regain. I don't know what I felt back then. What difference does it make? You're not going to change it. Do you long for Him right now? You believe Him right now. Everyone that the Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ in electing grace, He chose a people. They're going to come in time. And they're going to believe Him. They're going to call on Him. And they're going to continue to call on Him.
Amen.
And continue to believe Him. Seeing more and more of their need of Him.
Exactly.
How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? For a sinner to believe, to be persuaded of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Let me tell you something of what that means. I realize so often, Brother William, Brother Joe, we'd be up here preaching, and you're the first ones to admit, I'm so far over my head right here. I'm declaring truths that I believe by faith, but to explain the depth of it, Let's listen to this. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord for hope. I'm a sinner. I need a friend. I need a brother. I need one that'll rescue me. I can't save myself. Jehovah Jireh, the name of the Lord, the provider of all my needs. What do I need to stand before God accepted? I can sum that up with one word: Him. Here's all my need provided. Him. I go on and start naming things, and I need this, I need. If I have Him. Lord asked His disciples when some of them heard Him preach, and they said that's a hard saying.
Oh, yeah.
They followed Him no more.
Yeah.
And Lord didn't turn to Him and say, okay, well, wait a minute. Let me rephrase it.
You're right.
He looked at His disciples and He said, will you go away also?
Amen.
Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go?
Amen.
Where are you going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
We're sure. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth all our diseases. I'm going to tell you something. The physical diseases of this world, That's the least of a man's problems.
Exactly.
Right, right.
All the diseases of sin and rebellion against God Almighty, He healeth all of our diseases. How? He bore my guilt.
Right. Amen.
In His own body. Made sin. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. This is where I raise my flag right here. The Lord is my prophet. He's God's spokesman to me.
Yes, sir.
The Lord is my priest. He is the spokesman to God on my behalf.
Amen.
And He's my king. Throw the net on the other side. Lord, we fished all night, but at Your word. That's enough. At Your word. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord our peace before God.
Amen.
It's finished. Jehovah Re'ah. The Lord our shepherd. Lord, order my steps. Last time I was in Rocky Mount, I heard Brother Henry praying. And that's what I heard. I heard him say, Lord, would You order our steps today? I thought, we never get to a point to where we don't need our steps ordered. Lord, guide me. Lord, keep me. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. I don't have any in myself. All of my righteousness, filthy rags. I've never done one thing acceptable in His sight. Not one thing. Yeah, but don't you pray, Marvin? Don't you read your Bible? Aren't you a preacher? If you would see how embarrassed I am when I try to pray. And catch myself wandering, and I think, Lord, if You marked iniquity, who could stand? Jehovah Shemach, the Lord is present. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, I'm in the midst of you. I've said before, surely there's two or three here. Surely there is. Whosoever to call on the name of the Lord. This is the God we serve.
Yes, sir.
God who is God. God who elects. God who redeemed. God who regenerates. This is the one that we call upon. This is the one we believe.
Yes.
This is the one that the Lord gives us a heart to call. A heart to believe. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing. Well, I think somehow I can go out in the woods. I can be just as close to God sitting out under the stars and soaking in all of them. Faith cometh by hearing. Make much of the hearing of the Word of God. Make much. Does faith come any other way? No. No one can trust an unrevealed Christ. The Scripture says that. And whatever men's got to say about it, it doesn't matter. Let every man be a liar and God's true. Does a man have to call? God said he did. Does a man have to believe? God said he did. And I'm thankful that He gives a heart to call and a heart to believe. He didn't leave it up to me. We must hear. Hear with God-given understanding. Hearing ear and seeing eye, they're both from the Lord. Salvation in the hands of a sovereign God. To give it or to withhold it.
Yes.
What you just read.
Yes.
A sinner must call. God's ordained it. What Peter was saying. Under the inspiration of God's Spirit, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. and to believe. What is the message? One message.
That's right.
That God Almighty blesses to the salvation of His people.
Yeah.
It is the gospel of God's sovereign grace, sovereign saving grace. Paul said, if any man, or angel from heaven, Galatians 1:8, if he preach any other message than that which we've preached, let him be accursed. Does a man have to hear the gospel to be converted? According to the scriptures, he does. I say, well, I was converted under free will Arminian doctrine, and I just came to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You say, well, I believe I was. God said you weren't. Paul said, I'm not ashamed, Romans 1, 16-17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Here's my third question. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Does a person have to hear the gospel preached to be converted? According to God's word, he does. He does. Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. Now you listen to these words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Whenever somebody said something, whenever they said something in scriptures, the Spirit of God moved upon that person to say just exactly what they said, either in rebellion, God leaving them to themselves, confessing of the Lord. All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Yes.
And it's profitable.
Yes.
For reproof and rebuke, correction and right instruction in righteousness. Now listen to this. Philip came up to an Ethiopian eunuch. And he was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And Philip asked him this question: understandest thou what thou readest? And the Spirit of God moved upon that man to say this. How can I? Except some man should guide me. How can I? The Lord sent his disciples on a specific mission. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Every creature. Why? Here's the answer given in 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. Now let me ask you, here's my question. Do you have to hear the preaching of the gospel to be converted? Here's what God has to say. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. What the world calls foolishness. Not foolish preaching, but what the world calls foolishness. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now you listen to this. Titus 1. Verses 1 to 3. Paul, the servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Does a man have to hear preaching of the gospel? God said he does.
That's it. That's right.
Somebody said, well, I think I can. When the Lord arrested Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, what did the Lord do to teach Saul? Now you listen to this. He told him, he said, you arise and you go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And God spoke to a preacher, and he said, Ananias, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And Ananias went in there, and he said, Brother Saul, thief on the cross, did he have to hear preaching to be converted? He heard the preacher of all preachers. That thief was railing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he heard the Lord. He heard God himself speaking. And the Spirit of God was pleased to bless that message to that man's heart. And Almighty God saved him by grace. He heard the preacher, the prophet of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach.
That's right.
And say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That'd be a message right there. I'm going to take my text from our Lord's, from our Lord. Here's my text today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And lastly, Scripture says in Romans 10:15, how shall they preach except they be sent? Unless they be set apart and taught of God and given a heart for the ministry, heart for the gospel. Mr. Spurgeon, in his book on lectures to my students, he was given qualifications of a preacher. Qualifications of a preacher. Do you know what the first one was? The Lord must save him. I thought, why didn't I think of that? God saves a preacher. He saves him. He converts him. He teaches him the gospel. God's preachers preach the same message. They preach the same message. They have you ever wondered why there's so many different messages out there? I mean, everybody, now you know this, everybody cannot be right. Have you ever wondered why? There's always a little something here. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Revelation 13. This is an amazing revelation to me. The woman in the book of Revelation, God's sheep, God's church, God's bride. The woman, Revelation 13. She's in this world. She's not of it. And she's persecuted. She's on all sides. But God's going to keep her. She's a pilgrim, sojourner in this world. Now here's the question. It's this last question I had. How shall they preach except they be sent? God's going to teach them the truth, and the truth is going to be proclaimed by God's preachers. Now, they're just like this in Crow, and it's just like this in Beckley and Fairmont and Rocky Mount. Every place you look, there's different denominations. They teach this. Well, you know, we got a little bit different angle on this thing. You ever wondered why? Why? Here it is right here. Here's why. Look in Revelation 12 and verse 13. When the dragon, that is Satan, saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now there's a setting forth by our Lord, birth. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. There's the Lord Jesus Christ, who keeps his own, protects her, that she might fly into the wilderness. And she's in this world, into her place where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Here's, she's nourished, she's kept. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. God's going to keep his own. But she's in this world. We're in this world. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now listen, this flood, he's a liar. He's a liar. He's a source of all lies. There's one truth. It's Christ. We preach him. We preach truth. Truth. Everything that's not him, that gives all honor and all glory and all praise to him, is a lie. It's a lie. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I gave this illustration. If I get in trouble with my wife, she'd get me later. I told her this illustration. This is my illustration. If I told her, I said, baby, 99% of the time, I'm faithful to you. 99%. Now there's 1%. 1%. And there's somebody else, you know. That little leaven nullified the whole lump. That you see what I'm saying? 99% of the time, though, I'm faithful. That 1% ruined everything, Paul. A little leaven in a message leavens the whole lump. I believe in salvation by grace. I believe the salvation's of the Lord. I believe that God is on his throne. Now, all you have to do, I just nullified everything I just said. This serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, all of the lies, all of false religion in this world, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. This is where he started in the garden. Hath God said, God, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. And the earth, now listen to this, helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, do you know why there's a false church on every corner? It's because it's Satan's attempt to come after the woman. He wants to deceive God's elect. Yes, and the Lord said, who is sovereign in all things, took the lies and let the earth soak in exactly what she wanted. I want a lie. Yeah. Remember when the spies came in to... I'm probably going too long. Remember when the spies came in to Jericho and went up to Rahab's house? And she hit them. She told him, she said, we heard. We heard how your God, you know, destroyed the kings in Sihon and Og. And we know. We know. He brought you across. We know. She was saying what was common knowledge in Jericho. They heard. They heard, John. They heard it. We know. We know. And this woman said, will you do something for me? She said, when you come into this city, would you remember my family?
Yeah.
He told her, said, you put a scarlet ribbon.
And
she hid them under the straw.
Yes, sir.
A couple of guys come from the powers that be, and they said, the spies that came in, where are they? And she said, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. She said, I saw them going out the gate. Now, they're under the straw. They're under the straw. She said, they went, and if you hurry, you can catch them. I mean, give it all you got. And there they went. They went.
That's right.
They went. Now, let me tell you something. They had heard just like she had heard. They heard the truth. But because they would not receive the love of the truth, God gave them just exactly what they wanted. A lie.
Exactly.
He gave them a lie. God shall send them strong delusion that they should not believe. I will not have this man to rule over me. He will in wrath. He will in judgment. Not in mercy. God give you just exactly what you want. Only by the grace of God. How shall they preach except they be sent? The Lord said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. God's going to teach his people.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to teach them through a pastor who's going to be able to sit down, take God's scriptures, and ask for God's direction, God's instruction, God's teaching. Brother Henry said one time, God's people are not looking for a message. They're looking for God's message for the hour. God's going to send preachers. And he's going to give them the instruction. He's going to take care of them. He's going to protect them. The reason you come, you listen, these men that minister over you, you want to hear what God has to say. Tell me what the Lord has to say. God's preachers are servants of God, and they know it. They're unprofitable servants. What that means is they add nothing of their ability to His glory. They added no glory to the Lord. They're unprofitable servants, messengers, ambassadors, bond slaves, sent of God. A sinner that God's going to save. God's going to cause that sinner call upon him. God's ordained it. To give that man a heart to call, he's going to give him a heart to believe. And to cause that man to believe, he's going to send him the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And that's what he's going to bless. And in sending that gospel, he's going to raise up a preacher.
Yes.
And he's going to send that preacher and cause that preacher to cross that man's path. And that man's going to hear.
Right.
That woman's going to hear.
Yes, sir.
And in due time, they're going to believe.
Amen.
In the time of love, God's going to give them a new heart.
Yeah.
And they're going to call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord said, I'm going to save you.
Yes,